Loveline, coast to coast.
Yes, it is. I am at... okay. That's fantastic radio, Bruce. Just crumble that bag right on into the microphone there.
Faster.
All right, here's the deal. I'm going to try like hell not to pick on you tonight, Dr. Bruce, filling in for Dr. Drew. But please do not tempt me.
Have you had a spiritual conversion of some sort?
I was asked not to tear you a third a-hole. I know you already have two, but I'm not going to go for three. But that is provided you show up on time and do not crackle the paper bag into the microphone. All right. It is Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew. And the one time, by the way, and Dr. Bruce is just as qualified as Dr. Drew to do this job. He is board certified. He's an internist. He's an addiction medicine specialist. He specializes in tattoo removal and emergency medicine and probably knows more than Drew about life and medicine. And Drew's defended you to me many times saying how exquisitely intelligent you were. And I just laughed like a hyena.
Bless
but he
that
really
man.
Thinks you're smart. And I think it's because you have an ability to digest useless knowledge. But he's really impressed by you.
Does
anyway,
does Dr. Drew smell so pretty?
Yeah, Bruce, where'd you just come from the prom? What the hell do you got on there? How much aqua velva you're sporting tonight?
Hey, it's not aqua velva.
You really smell good. Oof. That is Anderson Cooper, of course, the host of The Mole, ABC, Tuesday nights, 8 o'clock. And I was really, as I was saying to Anderson and producer Ann before the show, it's so ironic that Drew is not here tonight because he's a big Mole fan. And I thought for once he could contribute to the interview because he usually has no idea who we're talking to and about what. But this is a show that he really enjoys, and he is not here. Bruce, do you watch The Mole?
No, but I
got, I knew
what?
It. I knew it.
Because you got some lives or something? What are you doing?
The Mole. Oh, The Mole. Yeah. The Mole.
You're probably all over Temptation Island, though, right?
Have you? No,
no
I have
no,
seen,
I've never seen,
I've seen bits and pieces of it. So, Bruce, you know nothing about The Mole.
I did my internet research here.
All right, let's
I know all about it.
Stop flapping
that's
it into the mic. Let's talk about The Mole. First off, they're all taped. They're all done, right?
Right, we shot it over the course of a month.
So you know what the outcome is.
Yeah.
And what would happen to you if you just decided to blurt out over the microphone
well, like
what
Scott
the
Stone and Dave
was.
Stanley would sue me for the rest of my life.
I don't know those names.
The producers of it.
I see.
Yeah.
Yes, no, I know those two. They're fine gentlemen.
Yeah, unless you cross them, and then they're going to like litigate you until you're dead.
Even if you don't cross them, they can be a-holes.
Is that right?
No, they're good.
They've
they're
been
good
nothing
guys,
but good to me.
But what
$10 million.
What would they do? $10
million? Yeah, I've signed a $10 million confidentiality agreement.
So they could
so
you,
if I just
they
blurted
could sue
out right
you.
Now who The Mole was.
Right.
I would destroy the program, and I would be sued for $10 million, and they would be able to get, not that I have it, but if
right.
I had it, they would be able to get it.
Is it the
they
same?
They would garnish my wages for the rest of my life.
Think of the PR value to that, though.
Is it the same to for all the contestants?
Yeah. Oh, it's everyone's $10 million.
Everyone's got a $10 million thing? Mm-hmm. Has anyone approached you? Has there been any
just jokingly, but
mafia not, guys or anything?
It's not like in Willy Wonka where, you know, the guy comes over and whispers in your ear.
But there are people gambling on this, right?
Yeah, but $10 million is a lot, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you have to really be obsessed with it.
Yeah. Hey, you want to go out for some drinks after the show?
Yeah.
Come on, buddy. I'll buy the first six pitchers of margaritas. Just unwind. Let your hair down a little bit. Just say what's on your mind. All right. So, again, Tuesday nights, ABC, 8 o'clock. And,
I can't believe you haven't watched them all.
I don't. I watch BattleBots and Junkyard Wars are the only two shows
well,
I watch.
About a little bit better, but you know.
He watches his own show too.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm here. How dare you? I'm here during
you put it
my
on
own
the TV
show.
Monitor here.
Do you see a TV monitor in this studio?
It right next door.
Anderson, you're a journalist, are you not?
Sort
right
of. Yeah.
Do you Do you see? Oh yes,
there's a large TV right in the corner.
Besides
of the, room,
the 27 inch TV that's in here. Uh-huh. No, but that TV does not work. It will not pick up. It won't. Anderson,
if you
please,
watch yourself on TV too much, you get hair on your palms. You
that's right.
That.
All right. You want to talk a little about the journalism? Anderson went to Yale, by the way.
Yeah,
that's big time.
Crawl under the tape.
Bruce went to a college even the dean hasn't heard of.
Andrews
There's
University.
Some great schools in Grenada.
He was in Somalia, I heard.
Nah.
Right?
How about Loma Linda University?
Yeah.
He's heard of it.
All right. Were you ever in danger while you're on assignment?
Yeah, plenty of times. I used to be a combat reporter for like 3 years. So I was in Somalia and Bosnia a lot.
And the combat reporter seems like kind of a hairy job. I mean, it seems like even though they're not supposed to shoot you, they just might anyway. Or you
often
just
they're
get
like
hit.
Paid extra. Like in Sarajevo, the snipers were paid extra for hitting a journalist.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, then
there was a guy from ABC who was killed. He was shot in the back.
Really?
Yeah.
Are they really paid extra?
Sometimes.
Because they don't want the world to find out what's going on?
Well, it depends. Like in Sarajevo during the war, the Serbs were shooting into Sarajevo, and they felt the media coverage against them was against them. So they didn't like the media, so they would give extra to snipers.
Isn't there some sort of Geneva Convention, though, about that? I mean, not that it applies. Not that you care when you're dead.
It's not a good idea to shoot anyone. So
no, but I mean, there are some combat rules about that?
Not really.
No?
No. I mean, you're not supposed to kill non-combatants and stuff.
Right.
But
like a guy who's got a big red cross on his helmet, right. He's trying to drag somebody out of harm's way.
It's best not to shoot those guys. But
anything could happen.
When the opposition's killing innocent civilians by the dozens.
Yeah.
Right, doesn't matter.
You ever get any shrapnel in you or anything like that?
No, I've been very lucky. I was shot at a couple times directly, but I was very lucky.
Oh. And you actually are reporting while stuff's blowing up and gunfights are breaking out?
Sure.
Oh, man.
I was in South Africa a lot before the elections. There was a lot of shooting there in Rwanda during the Civil War. And I was doing actual stand-up, and I got shot at in Sarajevo, and it hit, like, right over my head. And I didn't know what it was. It was the first time I'd been shot at. And I heard this huge crack going off, and I looked, and there was this column, and a little puff of smoke was coming out of the column. And I sat there for a second, and someone was like, oh, my God, someone's shooting at me. And I dived down.
Now, were they shooting you because you were standing in front of a camera?
Yeah, I was just being stupid. Yeah, I was in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah, so. That's why I always report from my hotel room when I do those assignments.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Amanda?
Yeah.
You're 18. What's up?
Okay, my father, he's kind of a nutcase. First of all, I want to say I love... Adam, I love you to death.
Oh, you're thanks.
Awesome. I'm kind of disappointed Dr. Drew's not on tonight, but whatever.
We all are.
You'd love
ahead.
Me too.
My father's an alcoholic. He's also manic and bipolar, depressant. He lives with his dad right now. But I tend to kind of go after guys that are just like him. And I haven't had a boyfriend in over a year and a half. And I want to know how to kind of get out of that phase of chasing men like him.
Where are you living?
St. Paul, Minnesota.
I know, but who are you living with?
My mother and my brother.
I see. And are you in high school? Did you graduate? Oh, yeah, I just ate too much tonight, so I'm going to be belching all night. Well, listen, you know what you're doing, and you don't want to do it, right?
Right.
So all you have to do is stay sober, and you're probably not going to do it.
No, I don't agree.
All right, well, what do you think?
Here's what happens. You grew up with a chaotic environment, and even if your dad wasn't right there, when you have that kind of a chaotic experience with a male, it's ingrained, and you go back to what you're familiar with, and unless you do some active therapy to deal with that, even if you stay sober, you're probably going to find if you have a room with 100 guys and one guy that's chaotic and has a problem, you'll probably end up with that guy.
Right.
And
that's,
well, yeah, I know. I've been in therapy since fourth grade.
You'll give the other 99 oral later, but you'll end up with that one guy.
But, like, the last guy I was with, I was 16, he was 24, and he was an alcoholic, too.
Yeah. So. But see, listen, here's what I'm trying to get at, Bruce.
Where do you meet most of these guys?
Yeah, where do you meet them?
That guy, I worked with him, actually.
Hmm. Yeah, but see, it doesn't matter if you've been in therapy since you were an infant. It didn't, you didn't make the... you didn't make the jump to where you are able to deal with the issue. You're still in that behavior.
All
so
right.
You need to go to a different therapist or do something more focused to deal with that issue.
All right, but Amanda.
Yeah.
Let me say this before we hang up on you. I obviously agree with Bruce. This is going to take some therapy to undo. On the other hand, I don't feel good about sitting here night after night telling everyone to just go get therapy. I mean, it would help them, and it can be the answer, but you're 18, you don't have any money, and it's hard to pull off.
Well, no, I've been in therapy forever.
But then it's
medication and everything.
But it's a mixture between talking and acting. Do you know what I mean? I mean, you work it out in the therapist's office, but it's up to you when you're outside of the therapist's office not to act on these things.
Are you going to meetings?
What?
Are you going to, like, Al-Anon meetings?
I used to be in some, it was called Children Are People, Too.
Okay, but those aren't things like you get a diploma and graduate. They're
performing
especially
at Disneyland this
That's
weekend.
Like one of those up with people things.
They're especially important when you're going through these kind of issues, where you can talk about it as you're going through it.
And all right, do it. I agree with Bruce. But listen, and I don't want to get too heady too early in the show here, but I've done plenty of therapy myself, and there's a time, and I've done 3-4 years at a time when my life was a disaster and the only thing good was the therapy. And then there's a time when you can actually go out and act upon what you're learning in the therapist's office. And that's important to do, too. And that's what she needs to do. She understands what she's doing. She needs to keep an eye on herself and not get herself in those dangerous situations for her. Megan?
Yeah.
You're 16.
Hi.
What's up?
All right. My problem, it all started last year when I first got my job. I'm this cute little blonde girl. I walk into work, and all the guys are all trying to get with me because, I mean, it's all male environment, you know? They haven't had a girl in there in forever, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, where do you work?
It's a laser tag place.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You guys, these are where stone teenagers run around with those guns and those marker beacon belts, and they chase each other through plywood mazes.
Laser tag, cool.
Yeah, a lot of them are kind of retarded.
Right. They go there for, like, birthday parties. And...
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, so...
What do you do there?
Well, I have to run birthday parties. We get a lot of tips and stuff.
Right.
It's good money. It's $6 an hour plus tips, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, run games and fix stuff, you know.
Right.
It's fun.
All right, so who's hitting on you? The guys who work there?
Yeah, but that's beside the point. But, yeah, okay, so all the guys are blah, 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 and it's pretty much this big competition on who can get with me first, you know, whatever. But then I eventually get with this one guy, and, you know, all the lines, oh, you're beautiful, you're great, blah, blah, blah. So I go with him, you know.
How old?
What?
How old is he?
He was 15, I was 16. Hmm. But he didn't go to my school or anything.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he was a lot different than me because I was, like, this sweet little innocent thing, and he smoked and...
Yeah, yeah, it's dangerous.
Yeah.
Had his moped lowered. I know the type.
Yeah, oh, my God, it sounds like you already know him.
No, no, I know what it's like to have some smooth-talking 15-year-old come sweep me off my feet. Cigarettes rolled up and looking like Matt Dillon. Right?
Yeah.
Troubled. The outsider.
Yeah, I feel like Adam, you're so on the ball.
Yeah, I know these kids. I know their rap.
Did you hear the last caller? Were you listening?
Yeah, my call is actually similar to hers.
Yeah, that's why. Right. That's why I chose.
So he gave you a lot of smooth talk, and then what?
Yeah, and then he ended up dumping me, you know, and he was like, well, we don't go to the same school, I never get to see you. I was like in this big depression for like 3 weeks. Don't ask me why.
Well, you liked him.
I did. He was pretty much, you know, one of my first boyfriends, and I messed around with him more than I had with any other guy, and I was real sad, you know?
Sure.
And my friends were trying to snap me out of it. I couldn't get over it.
Yeah. What and base then, did you get to with him? Hold on. As a journalist, you should be asking these questions. Please. Well, you're dropping the ball.
He fingered me, and I gave him a hand job, but then, like, after he broke up, then I gave him head, because he was all like...
Well, after you broke up, you gave him head?
Yeah, because he was like, let's just go back to the way things used to be. So
okay. Hey, Megan?
Yeah?
For what it's worth, it's over with us, too.
What?
I'm just saying if you're going to give me a PJ, huh?
Well, I mean, I just was all night.
All right. Like, all right. Okay. So you broke up. You gave him a little oral sex.
So what's your family like? What's your dad like?
My dad, he's an alcoholic.
All right.
He was never there, like, my whole life. I don't really think he cares about us. He lives with his mom now because he can't really take care of himself.
Wait a minute. Didn't our last caller,
it was
dad, live with his dad?
Very similar. This is somebody in training to be the other person.
Oh, these two ought to get together and start some sort of club.
I know. It was really weird listening to her talk.
Was it weird, or did you identify, and do you think you could pick something up from that?
Yeah, but, I mean, here's my problem. Like, he hooks up with this other girl, this new girl, you know, and treats her about... I mean, I'm sorry, I'm not allowed to say that, am I?
No.
It keeps Anderson on his toes.
I'm sorry, I'm really sorry.
Okay.
That's all right.
I'm sorry. He treats me really bad for about 5 months, and then when she breaks up with him, then he's all like, so, Megan, you know?
All right.
And all over all me right. again.
Megan, so. Listen, this guy's not for you,
but
right?
The thing is, I can't stop caring about him, no matter what.
I know, but...
I care about him. And the sweet
you don't really care about him. It's not him. It's just what he represents. It's the energy that he awakens in you. You understand? I know you. It doesn't make a difference. It's the same pain, but that's the truth.
It's also the kind of guy you're going to look back a year from now and, like, say, what was that about?
You know? Oh, yeah. Yeah. But absolutely. I just every girl I dated. They look back at me and go, what the F was I thinking? A year. It's usually like 10 days.
Okay, listen, the problem is not what he's doing or what your girlfriend said. The problem is how you react to this guy and the fact that you're still interested in him and not seeing the big picture. The other gal that called, you have the same issues, and when you have a dad that has the kind of issues that both of your dads have, you tend to gravitate towards men that are similar, that are chaotic, abusive,
yes.
And then you get into trouble.
It's a wonderful, wonderful legacy that a horrible father leaves his daughter, which is ensuring her future with horrible guys, which is really, now they're getting it from both ends. So not only is the father, the biological father, a horrible human being, not only is he not there to provide and nurture her and look after her, but he sees to it that emotionally she'll be magnetically drawn to alcoholic, abusive a-holes for the rest of her life.
So how do you break that pattern?
It's not a knowledge thing.
The
previous caller, she had the knowledge. She's been through the therapy, but she's not internalized it, and she's not worked through the actual feelings and connected to what brought her to that point, mm-hmm. that she's having this kind of an attraction to these kind of guys. And it's something that therapy is only going to work if you connect with what's going on emotionally.
Here's the reality. For someone like Megan, it could be some years in some bad relationships. You hope the guy doesn't put a bullet in her head. You hope she doesn't crank out three kids. You hope that no tragedy strikes until she sees the light and sort of gets herself out of this. And it could be sooner than later, or it could be later than sooner. You don't know. She's calling. She's asking. Hopefully, she can hear this and get to it.
But she can get to an Alateen group, or she can go somewhere where she gets a sponsor, somebody that's more mature than her that she can bounce things off of and get some insight.
So have you ever heard that Dorothy Parker quote, those born to the storm find the calm very boring? Is that the case?
That's exactly.
That is good. See, that's Yale.
But what do you do with that? Yeah, what does Yale do with that?
Dorothy Parker was a famous black saxophonist.
The heroin addict.
Who was taken by a tornado, tragically, from Kansas in the late 20s, early 30s. Is that right?
Something like that. Circa 1930.
Circa 1930. Man?
Hello?
You're 17.
Yeah.
What's up?
I was riding my skateboard, and I tried to do a gap and an impossible, and the board landed vertical, and I landed right on it with my balls.
I see. That's nice. And what's the gap? Where you kick it up and flip it around?
I was trying to jump over this piece of grass. I tried to do an impossible.
Yeah. Best not to attempt the impossible too many times.
Well, how long ago did this happen?
You're better off trying the you'll never make it.
A week ago.
Ah.
I see. And what's wrong with your sack now?
I can't come at all.
I see.
It was swollen and bruised.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what to do.
What's it look like now?
It's gone down a little.
Yeah.
There's still some swelling?
Yeah.
You're still having pain. You need to have it examined by a doctor.
Okay.
Okay. And the testicles are not made for that kind of roughness. That's why included in the elbow pads and the helmet, you should have some other protection on. But you're probably past the point of having a serious problem, and you'll go back to normal.
What do you mean past the point of having a serious problem?
Well, if you have trauma to your testicles, and it's a week ago. I mean, if he ruptured his testicle,
he'd know it by now.
Well, he really still needs to be examined because I can't.
I know, but finish your thought, jackass. If he'd done something catastrophic, he would have known it in a week's time.
Would have known it immediately, within hours.
Can you get hard and stuff, or is it just not, you're just not ejaculating?
It'll get hard, but nothing will come out.
I see. All right, so Matt?
Yeah?
By the way, if I, at 17, was not masturbating in 1 week, I would have been airlifted many days ago.
One week, an hour? Are you kidding?
That's what I'm saying. I would have met a fact.
I whacked off right before I came in here.
Oh, good man. Oh, is that what you're doing out in the lobby?
Yeah, absolutely. I was kind of, didn't want to talk.
He had the sports page draped over him. I thought he fell asleep. Hey.
I had a guy that was...
All right, Matt. Go. You have to get checked out. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Do you have a doctor you can go see?
I like to call it brushing them all.
Not currently.
One day, Matt.
Yeah.
One day you're going to have a few kids out of wedlock and then abandon them. Do you understand? And you'll never be able to do that if you don't get your testicles examined.
Okay.
You understand? You'll be robbed of that.
Okay.
All right, buddy. And listen, easy with that skateboard, would you?
Okay.
Start wearing some padding.
Mm-hmm.
But those... Okay, he's not going to do it. But I see these guys doing the most insane things... On these, you know, they're at some junior high. They kick it up on some metal hand railing. They're splitting the railing all the way down, you know, six flights of stairs. And it's all in a pair of shorts and tennis shoes. And it's nothing but concrete formed steps around them and like parking pylons and stuff. And I'm just thinking, you can't put the elbow pad on. Would that be too much? No, I mean, I don't even care. Forget about the helmet, but just put the knee and the elbow thing on. Yeah. It hurts my teeth when I watch these guys wipe out on these hidden video shows.
Well, the Rock videos, whenever they have the skateboards in there, they never have the protective stuff on. But if you watch the X Games, these guys are like
iron
suits.
Plan on reality. Plan on crashing.
Yeah.
That's the way I approach life. I wear a cup to bed every night. I don't have to tell you about that.
Because you expect to crash?
You never know what could happen.
Uh-huh.
A piece of the shuttle could break loose and come through the ceiling. All right. All right, Anderson Cooper's our guest tonight from The Mole, Tuesday nights, ABC, 8 o'clock. We'll take ourselves a little break. When we come back, we'll speak to Carrie. Carrie's 29, had sex with best friend in the heat of the moment, regrets it.
Why does she regret it?
Well, we'll find out when we come back.
Oh yeah, everybody now.
The Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Bruce. Filling in for Dr. Drew. Doing a wonderful job on top of his game tonight. Brought me bottled water and some of that high-octane coffee. His wife brews up special for him. God bless you, Bruce. Anderson Cooper's our guest tonight. He's the host of The Mole. Well, you know when that is. Tuesday nights, ABC, 8 o'clock. That would be tomorrow night or tonight if you're hearing the show in the day delay, but it's over because it's too late and I don't want to do the math, but you can figure out what
I'm watching. Are you watching at your place tomorrow night or my place?
Bruce, what are you here for? You here for a couple days?
No, one night. Where's Drew?
I have no idea. I have no idea. He got a tip that there was some change in the slot of a phone machine at the Tampa airport. He hopped on the first plane and he was trying to get it for some kids did. So he's chasing change around the country like an idiot. And I'm here.
You're always
with
here.
My dignity and full tact, holding the show down as per usual. Although
anywhere else you'd rather be?
No, you know what? You know what's weird? I don't like work.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like work because it has the word work in it. Mm-hmm. And I'm a Corolla, and Corollas fear work. We have like a long line of people who don't like work. But I like this show. I'm always here. Drew is here about half the time I'm here, and it's because he has no commitment. He has no love for the kids. He doesn't want to keep it real.
It's all for the kids.
Like me. I do it all for the kids and for the money. A lot of it's for the money. And some for the kids.
It's the Drew's health that causes him to avert from the show. Just like the gals.
What does that mean?
It means that you're returning to your chaotic past, and this is a chaotic environment that Drew would like to avoid.
It is sad because people say to me all the time, what's it like talking to all those pregnant teenagers and those kids with sexual abuse and physical abuse? Doesn't it eat you up inside? And I go, I didn't really think about it. There you go. Oh. And then I try to feel bad. I try to feel bad, like retroactively. Yeah, it's kind of hard to sleep at night sometimes.
Well, it's funny. I used to do combat reporting. It was the same thing. And people, you'd go to these, you know, Rwanda or Somalia, whatever, and people say, God, how can you do that? And, you know, you're like, it's actually kind of fun.
Well, I mean, I would imagine the type of person who is drawn to doing something where you're seeing a lot of people in pain is the kind of person that's okay with seeing people in pain.
It seems normal, right? Exactly.
It certainly,
it's like coming home.
It certainly does. Although I got to tell you, this is not one tenth of combat reporting, and not just the danger aspect of it, but seeing all those poor, suffering people in these third world countries and the kids—they're
faking it.
Hey, you think so?
By and large.
That's what my hunch was. Yeah. Figure that. Stunt flies in there. Carrie?
Hello?
Ooh, you're 29. What's up?
I just made the biggest mistake of my life, and I don't know what to do about it now. I have had this friend for about...
You bet the Giants?
Huh?
Did you bet the Giants?
What?
You talking about the biggest mistake you ever made in your life?
I did what? I bet the Giants.
Yeah, you did what I did yesterday.
I was wondering about
you took the Giants in the under. That is the biggest mistake ever made in my life.
I would have been.
He was in the Super Bowl and nobody knew.
All right. So what big mistake did you make?
I have had this friend for all my life. Our moms were best friends. We grew up together. We played together when we were kids. And he just recently came back from Iowa. He left his wife and drove back here and is staying with his mom, who lives right around the corner from me. And I don't know, I guess we just kind of started flirting with each other. And eventually we went on this drive and we like got in this car wreck and broke the car. And then we wound up having sex and it was the worst sex
in the broken car. Or?
Yeah, the car's still there.
Nice. And it was the worst sex you ever had in your life?
Worst sex I ever had in my life. And
why?
I was just in a cramped little car, and he's a really big guy, and it was just really awful.
Just because it's fun. What kind of car was he driving?
An Acura.
And he's like what size?
About 6'1", 215 pounds.
So he's a big guy for the Acura.
Big guy.
And why do you feel so bad that you slept with him?
Because he's been my friend for so long, and now the friendship's over.
Well,
why is it over?
Because he's into you, right?
I don't know. I told him I didn't want to do it anymore, and last night he came over, and he was yelling at his sister on my front porch, and I went out and told him to be quiet, and he started yelling at me, and he started calling me all the words you can ever think of.
All right. Hey, listen.
Listen,
can't you just hit him with your banjo or throw your cider jug at him next time he's out on the porch jawing with his sister? You know that rope you use to hold your pants up? Go snap it on the back of his neck. You guys sound like hillbillies.
Where are you from? Where were you living?
Stockton. Yeah.
Here's the thing people don't know about California. People think California, they think Venice Beach and Hollywood and Sunset Strip. Stockton is in California, right? Yeah. See, there's a lot of hillbillies in California. What's going on over there?
Hillbilly Adam.
What do Mom and Pa say? He's
calling me a hillbilly.
Mom died in a twister, right? And Pa ain't been right since the Civil War.
Pa's out in the shed.
Pa takes the drink sometimes. The still blew up. He's deaf in one ear. Oh, listen, Carrie, here's a question. What are you doing around Stockton at 29? Where did your life go south?
I've lived here all my life.
What's that?
I've lived here all my life.
All right, but
there's nothing wrong with Stockton.
Yes, there is.
What, you assume because she lives in Stockton that our life's going to suck?
Guilt.
We're an hour away from the mountains, an hour away from the beach.
Guilty. Guilty.
Not close to anything, but
yeah, that's what I say about San Bernardino.
Beirut's an hour away from the mountains.
So, hey, listen, I mean, that's a great lesson because that's what happens when you have sex with somebody before you, obviously, way before you have any intimacy. And with this, yeah.
But sex with an old friend can be nice, can it?
It is for the guy, yeah.
It's not a,
like, okay. He's finally checked her off.
No, the guy's
list.
Mad. He's angry. He yelled at her because he's...
I see him looking down, big long list of people he went to high school with and junior high, all checked off. He just checked Carrie's name off. Last one on the list, Mom.
Oh, Jesus.
No, the reality is you, Adam, project that sex is a recreational sport, which it's not. And when people get what they want...
No, it wasn't for you. That's for damn sure.
When people get what they want, it's like the Chinese curse. May you have what you desire, however that goes. But with Carrie, you could learn something from this, but you're right. You probably ruined that friendship, and you can never go back
to where
you were.
All right, but listen, I want to help Carrie in the here and now. Do you have any kids?
Yeah.
You're divorced?
Yeah.
What's up? How many kids do you have?
I have two kids.
Two kids. How old are they?
My son's 11 and my daughter's 9.
All right. Are they doing all right?
They're doing okay.
What's up with you?
I'm just full-time student, part-time worker at a after-school program.
And who's helping out with the kids?
My ex-husband's got them.
All right. So you are... Ooh. Your ex-husband has your kids?
Yeah, and I know how you feel.
Oh, yes. That ain't a good sign, baby.
But he is a good father.
Well, he's
I needed to go back to school and go back to work, and I couldn't afford... I didn't want to go on welfare, and I didn't want to leave my kids in daycare all the time.
All right, do you have problems with impulsivity? Are you impulsive?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Yes.
And I'm a very sexual person, and it's really hard for me.
Seriously, though, anything?
Unfortunately, I also happen to be very attractive, and that makes it really hard.
Oh, yeah. What do you mean when you say you're a very sexual person?
I love sex.
Yeah, but anyone get frisky with you when you were young?
I started having sex when I was 12.
Yeah, how old were the guys?
13.
And, hey, tell that...
tell the psychiatrist that, in the background.
Tell Jed Clampett to quiet down back there.
Tell Jed Clampett to be quiet.
Who is that?
That's Peaches.
Tell Peaches.
Peaches.
Whoa. Tell Peaches to drink a little more of that shine and just quiet down. Listen, Carrie.
Okay.
All right, you finish up. You're going to junior college?
Yes.
All right, hurry. Get out of there.
Sex at 12. I want
to... listen, I don't want to dissect it. Listen, Carrie,
uh-huh.
Don't talk to him and talk to us. And listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
Your life has not gone that well so far, right?
No, it's not.
Good. It's time to stop listening to yourself and start listening to me.
Okay.
All the decisions you make are horrible.
Okay, you're right.
Finish off that... Listen, if you have an impulse to do something, like you think this guy's cute, or you think this is a good place to work, or you think you ought to shack up with this dude, don't do it. Because you see what trouble it leads to.
Okay.
All right, get your schooling done, get your S together, go get your kids back, and don't worry about this guy. If he's not friends with you anymore, fine.
What does she do with
intimacy? Don't be compulsive.
You're not getting your
Don't even have time.
No, she's got plenty of time.
She's got a million years. I got 2 minutes.
She needs
I'm done with her. But you understand there's much more to this than meets the eye. Much more. And the thing that's sad is she's got 2 kids.
I can't, yeah, but I want to know if she's been to therapy.
No, she has not. They don't have therapy in Stockton.
No.
Wait, Carrie.
What?
Carrie, do they have therapists in Stockton?
And I have been to a million therapists.
But did you do the... I mean, listen.
My mom started taking me to therapists when I was 12.
Good. Did you listen? Did you do any work?
Yeah, I did. I don't know.
No, you didn't. Okay, listen. You have kids. You need to take responsibility, and you need to put the work into it. You've got to work at finding out where all these things come from and how you can change the decision-making you do and the impulsiveness. It's going to take going to meetings. I don't know what your dad, if there's any addictions or other problems in your family.
Listen, yeah. Carrie, you have kids. You have to do it for your kids. You hear me?
Yeah, I know.
Therapy does not take care of addictive disorders. You've got to go to the meetings. You've got to work through
It's weird because everyone who calls seems to know kind of what they should be doing, but they're just not doing it.
But that's what a good therapist does, though. It leads the person. They don't tell you what to do. People know what they usually do know what they need, especially.
Most people, certainly by Carrie's age, which is almost 30, after having a crap-filled life filled with the same mistakes over and over again, or at least at the place where they're willing to admit that maybe all the choices they haven't made weren't the greatest, and maybe they should go down a different road. I think that's where Carrie is at. It's humbling. And they're humbled. I mean, you're cocky when you're 19. You hear the people call this show at 17. They're usually not ready to do anything. Or if they do, it's not going to be for a few years. After you've had a few kids and you're living at home, it's time to start thinking. And in Stockton, it's time to start thinking about a different way of life. And that's all you got to do, Carrie.
Car crashes are kind of hot, though.
She did. And that probably put off her growth for quite some years, being... a beautiful woman.
Mm.
Tommy, I know what it's like to be beautiful. I know what it's like. People don't ask as much from you. The door's just open.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. Tommy?
Yeah, this is Sam.
Yeah, you're 21.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm living in Reno, Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
I've been living here for like maybe 5 months, and everybody thinks about this, you know, and every guy wishes they could have it this way, but I'm getting tired of it, and there's nothing I can do about it.
Tired of what?
Well, I'm having sex with girls, like, at least 10 times a day, and it's, like, 2-3 different girls.
Yeah.
And I'm out.
Yeah, that's rough. Yeah, my balls go out to you, Tommy. That's rough. Listen, I don't know if he's full of ass, but he probably is, or if he's telling the truth, it doesn't matter to me.
Well, let's find out where he's from.
I don't care.
Oh, come on. From Reno. He's from Reno.
No. He just moved there. Where'd he move from? Come on.
Who cares? So he's getting laid 8 times a day.
And that's a sexual addiction, don't you?
No, he's calling just a crow about it.
No, he's not.
Listen, you don't know what this show, you know what this is? This is my dork's so big I can't ride a bicycle.
No, this man is
so
in
what
pain.
Do I do, doctor? I have a real problem. I have a huge penis.
No.
I feel like you're staring into my soul.
you have the same cry, right? What do you do with that huge
My banana pair? Seed bicycle just won't do.
Well, yes, when he went to Somalia, he had to check his penis.
Right. I had to have separate security guards just for my penis.
Someone shot at it.
Man.
All right, so Tommy, where are you from, just to satisfy Bruce?
Okay, I'm from South Carolina.
All right.
All right, and I was with this girl for like 5 years. and she couldn't make the move with me. My father owns a jewelry business up here. Everything's going good. She doesn't want to make the move up here, and it's just like all I do all day is think about this girl. You know, it's like I take care of the other things I got to take care of. I've got a good job. I pay my bills. I don't smoke pot anymore. I do the things I got to do. And I want this girl to come up here so bad, and it's like every time I do this, I feel so guilty about it, and it drives me crazy.
Well, how many girls are you having sex with?
Well, it's like, okay, it's like my friend's a DJ, and it's like he goes to all the raves, so I go with him. And when you got a girl coming up to you on rolls, and she's just, her eyes are bugging out of her head.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
There's nothing hotter.
Oh, my God.
Well,
no, but it's like...
Oh, come on. Be 21 and have a fine-ass girl come up to you and tell you she wants to take you home. What are you going to say?
On rolls, there's ecstasy.
Yeah. I'm
right.
Okay, so you used to have... Wait, you used to have a drug problem. You were doing pot.
No. I didn't have a drug problem. Oh. I like to smoke pot.
No. He's smart. What he's doing is... He's going into the morgue after just a bus of cheerleaders went into the ocean, and they just fished it out, and he's alone in the morgue. I mean, that's essentially what this is. It's a bunch of, like, screwed-up 16-year-old chicks that are flying on ecstasy,
right.
And he's smart because instead of being high as a kite on ecstasy as a guy in dry-humping a speaker... He is stone cold sober.
And he's the only guy who can get hard in the whole rave.
Just cruising and just banging every chick in there. That's genius.
The last time I was here, that was your recipe for us.
That's what my new plan
is. You're
going
to go to a rave and pick up on all these.
I'm going
to
be like, how high are you? I was on MTV. MTV, are you freaking? Let's go to my van.
I don't think it will work.
Yes.
This guy was smoking pot. He doesn't.
You know what I love about Engineer Anderson? Now, you want to play that back and hear me say I was on MTV? Because Anderson said was in my ear after I already said was. But the point is I have I work with the only people, in most people's engineers and producers and stuff are kind of rooting for him.
Mm.
I got Anderson over here trying to sink the boat.
You said was, and I was just kind of reiterating. It was funny.
All right.
Anderson's got performance talent, and he's back there. He should be in here with us.
He's a genius. And we're not talking about Anderson Cooper, by the way.
Okay, this guy, Tommy, has a sexual addiction, and he's missing.
What do you mean he's got a sexual addiction?
He's acting out 10 to 12 times a day with different females, if it's a lot less than
sex that much.
People that stop smoking pot will go on to another compulsive addictive disorder until they deal with the issue.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not uncommon for people to have several different problems before they really hit bottom or get to the point where they're in pain like some of the other
people. Question is, at 21, how can you really have a relationship with anyone, you know? I mean, how can you have a serious, real, committed relationship? Is that possible for a 21-year-old?
It's very possible. It's possible. I mean, are you saying they're too young?
I mean, at 21, you want to, like, you know.
But when you're 17, it still may be difficult to conceptualize a committed relationship, but to break the boundaries and go out and have sex with multiple different people, that's not a way of expressing, I'm so in love with this person, but they're not here, so I have to go out and get it.
All right. Well, listen, I think the guy's a genius for this go out and scrape off the pavement at the rave theory.
He's calling here because he knows he has a problem. I'm just telling him what it is.
All right. He knows, again, this is the theme of the night. If you're calling, you know you have a problem. You've stated the problem. Now exercise some control. And it's not all mind over matter, but there is, whether you're talking about picking up the bong, whether you're talking about picking up a pizza if you're overweight, where you're talking about cutting school where you don't feel like going to school, eventually it's up to you to do and take care of the business at hand. If you have a problem, abstain.
But the people that are calling don't know what the problem is.
Don't go to the rave.
They're calling because they're in
the
level.
Don't go to the rave. Don't go to the rave.
Discomfort.
I understand. You don't go to the rave and stay home. We'll see how many people you
have
sex with.
Keep it in your pants and...
Go to the rave?
Go to some meetings.
Go to the rave, you idiot?
No.
Then shut up when I say don't go to the rave. How dare you? All right, we'll take a little break. Anderson Cooper is here from the Mole. We'll be back after this.
Oh, yeah. Love Line. We'll be right back. Call on the 1-800-LOVE-191.
Hey! Love Line.
What are you laughing at?
Ah, Jesus, my life. That's what I'm laughing at. Hey, the love line, yeah.
Want to do some therapy here?
No.
We're here for you.
Yeah, I know.
We're empathic.
I'm scared that Bruce is here for me.
Not that way.
Anderson Cooper's our guest tonight. He's the host of The Mole, a very interesting guy who has been to many a troubled nation with a microphone and camera. And I respect it. I also think you're nuts. But it's a healthy kind of, I think you're nuts. The Mole, which is 8 o'clock Tuesday nights on ABC, a fabulous Stone Stanley production.
Sure. Can I get on there as a contestant?
No.
Why not?
Next one, if there's another one.
You say no, it's not up to you.
We actually did have a psychologist traveling with us, so maybe you could. You could be the traveling psychologist.
He's not a psychologist.
Which we all thought was kind of a joke starting off with. Like, we're like, oh, we don't even need this.
Oh.
By the end, everyone was consulting this guy.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. You should have brought some hookers and really massage therapists would have been good. Karen?
Yes.
You're 23?
Yes.
What's up?
About 24 hours ago yesterday, I got into the shower and I was told by my doctor that I was 7 weeks pregnant. And yesterday in the shower, as I'm finishing, I start bleeding. It wasn't heavy. It was just, there wasn't a constant flow. It was just kind of basically like spotting.
What's 20 weeks? 4 years?
No, 7 weeks.
Oh, 7 weeks.
So it's about a month and a half.
I see.
Now, I didn't think, first of all, that it was that far because with my calculations, I was only 5 weeks. Now, I want to know what the likelinesses of him miscalculating are. Also, I had the depot shot, so it was about 8 months after I had the depot shot that I got pregnant. So my ovulation was off a little bit.
But you had a positive pregnancy test.
Oh, yeah. I have a positive pregnancy test. They've taken 3 blood tests 3 straight weeks in a row. And it seems to be multiplying perfectly.
Bruce, okay. How do they figure out the conception date?
You know what? I don't know. He figured it out from the day that I started menstruating.
Yeah. Hold on a second, loudmouth. That's why I yelled Bruce before I then stated the question. So,
first
Bruce,
of all,
how do they tell the conception date? Bruce.
Yes.
How do they tell the conception date?
What do you mean, how do they tell?
All right, shut up. Sorry.
No,
got to go to the next one.
Wait,
Bruce,
vaginal bleeding.
You start playing along. Either you don't know or you know. Which is it? How do they tell? Go. Don't know? Say don't know. Don't know.
You base it on...
Either say it or say don't
I'm
know.
I'm telling you, they base it on
do
the last...
Do it today!
Why can't less normal pregnancy. Long. Less
Jesus
normal...
Christ.
The last normal period... 2 weeks after the last normal period. Okay, she's having vaginal bleeding.
All right, 2 weeks after the last normal period
right.
is how the doctors figure
you look
out.
You have a little wheel, and it's a last normal menstrual period. Positive pregnancy test, you start from there.
Okay, so that's how you figure out when they got pregnant.
That's how you calculate how many weeks pregnant.
Okay. All right. Now, I'm ready to go back.
Sort of.
Okay, thank you, idiot.
Okay, so now that I'm 5 weeks pregnant and I started spotting yesterday and my husband and my mother took me to the emergency room. We were there and they found no tissue, so they said it wasn't necessary to do an ultrasound, and I went in and saw my doctor today, and he found the pregnancy and he said the pregnancy is fine, but I haven't stopped bleeding. What could it be? Could it be a period, maybe?
Okay, first of all, there's almost a normal nature to losing a pregnancy in the first trimester. So many people get pregnant and miscarry very early on. They think it's a menstrual period. Mm-hmm. So nonetheless, what you're having now, what your doctor will do is every couple of days get a beta-HCG, will get another pregnancy test to make sure that the hormone is increasing mm-hmm. at a normal rate, which tells you that things are going okay, and at some point probably get an ultrasound. But there's nothing in the first trimester they're going to do. They might put you at bed rest.
They did. They said not to get out of bed for 2 weeks. Now, my doctor is on vacation for 2 weeks, so I won't be having any blood tests done. Now, I had no pain whatsoever, no back pain, no cramping. It just started bleeding.
All right. It really, whether or not you have pain, especially in the first trimester, it's a matter of...
Right,
you're either going to keep it or not. There's nothing you can do therapeutically.
You don't know whether she had a miscarriage or not. Or do you assume she did?
I assume she didn't because her doctor examined her, checked another beta ACG.
Then she's fine. Listen to her doctor.
Right. Well, if the bleeding increases or you pass tissue, you need to go back to the emergency room and they will do another pregnancy test.
Julie?
Hello?
Yeah, you're 21.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, am I on the air?
Yes, you idiot.
Oh, thank you, thanks. I have a problem.
All right.
I got caught having sex with my coworker at work.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know what they can do about it because they suspended me for 3 days already.
Where do you work?
I'm not going to tell you where I work.
I know. What kind of job is it?
Quick
like
loop.
Retail.
You work retail?
Yeah.
All right. So,
but the problem is that I'm 21 and he's 16.
Yeah.
Are you supervising this person?
No, I'm not supervising. We're the same.
What
no.
do you sell? Clothes?
We sell...
Food?
Linen.
You sell linen?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you got to expect when you're selling sheets, comforters, duvet covers and whatnot for people just to naturally get it on. Wouldn't you expect that?
Exactly. How were you caught?
We were in the back room and during the break, and my supervisor came in.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And you're already on suspension for something else?
No.
No, you got 3 days.
Because supposedly they were looking at the cameras and that's what they said.
Nice. All right, you're all classed, Julie. We'll see you on Fox, by the way, in a couple of weeks. All right, listen.
Did they file a police report?
No, they gave him 3 days. You're fine.
Did you soil any linens or was there damage done?
They're now in the discount bin.
That would have been nice. It was
right.
in the back room.
All right, Julie. I'm leaving you because we got to go to break. You're fine.
You're not fine.
Nothing's going to happen.
That's not a real healthy thing.
They gave you 3 days. Just don't screw any more minors and you'll be fine or get a job in a place where it's more acceptable. Like
borders on molestation, I think.
Thank you. We'll be back.
1-800-LOVE-191. We'll be right back.
Loveline, fast growing outlaw radio station, North America. There you go. That's radio.
Does that for 20 minutes at a time. It does good, get on your nerves.
Good, good, good radio. Anderson Cooper is our guest tonight. He is the host of The Mole, ABC. Tomorrow night, Tuesday nights, 8 o'clock. And let's see. Let's go to, was that Chelsea?
That like this, actually.
Chelsea is, we'll take that call next. Chelsea is 17. Chelsea?
Yes?
What's up?
I am bisexual and I don't know how to tell my family.
Uh-huh. Why do you want to tell your family?
Because they're always making fun of gays and bisexuals, and I get offended, and they don't understand why.
You think they'll stop when you tell them?
Mm-mm. They won't.
Yeah. Where's your dad?
My dad's in prison.
I
see. He raped me when I was 9.
He raped you when you were 9?
Yes.
Is that what he's in prison for?
Yes.
Really? Just raping you?
Raping me, and he admitted it.
Well. It's refreshing. I mean, not to talk to someone who's raped, but to see someone who's actually doing some time for screwing with their kids.
He also beat me, and he admitted to everything.
Was he under the influence?
No.
Okay.
And he's still in the can, huh?
Yeah.
When did he go in?
93.
Yeah. How long's he due to be in there?
40 years.
Really? Just not that you're not worth it, but
just
for you, huh?
Yeah.
No priors or anything?
Mm-mm.
No prior convictions for rape or anything like that?
Mm-hmm.
Just 40 years, huh? Wow.
How sexually active are you?
I still consider myself a virgin.
I see. You've been with men but not intercourse?
No, never.
Well, why do you call yourself bisexual?
Because I'm sexually attracted to women and men.
I see. All right, and
I broke up with my girlfriend because she wanted to have I don't know what it's called.
Three-way
gangbang.
Yeah.
And a bunch of people.
Yeah, and I didn't want to do it, and I broke up with her, and I'm engaged.
You're engaged to who? To what?
Male.
Oh, you're engaged to a male.
Yes.
But you haven't been with him.
No.
No. How old is he?
He is 16.
I see.
And how old are you?
17.
Yeah. Does it seem a little strange to be engaged to a male when you're not really that into males?
I'm actually into both.
I know, but...
I'm more into males, but I'm very sexually attracted to women.
I see. But you understand, Chelsea, that what your dad, the horrible thing that your dad did to you kind of bent your antenna a little bit.
Yeah, I know.
Spun your compass around sexually. So it's a little hard to find a direction, and you're kind of going in a few different directions right now. And nothing wrong with bisexuality, but it always means the person screwed up. I know it's not a real popular opinion. A lot of people don't like to talk about it, but it's always the reason you're bisexual is because your dad raped you when you were 9. It really is. I know that. But here's the deal. There's nothing we can do about that now. And that's fine. So you are the way you are. But, and you can be bisexual. But the trouble is when you then get married, you then have kids, you then start a family, and then you start seeing a woman, and then things get screwed up, and then you're saddled with another guy who does to your kid what your dad did to you. And that's what we want to avoid. So, A, you don't have to tell your dad anything because you don't talk to him, right?
Right.
You have a stepdad?
No. So. Yeah, I do. I've only met him once.
Where are you living? Who are you living with?
My great-grandmother.
So what's the nuclear family like? Your great-grandmother, you, and who else is in the home?
My dog.
Well, okay, so you got to tell your dog and a 95-year-old woman?
84.
80. Okay, listen, you'll kill her. This will be the last thing she remembers before she goes to her grave. Now listen here, screwball. Turn that radio down back there, please.
I'm trying to keep my great-grandmother from hearing me.
I understand, but if she hears my nasally drone coming through the speakers, she'll know something's up. And believe me, at her age, it's going to take her a day and a half to get to your room to tell you to turn it down.
Actually, she's very strong for 84.
Okay. Listen, Chelsea, I know it's become a repetitive theme for tonight, but therapy, and a little more therapy.
Yeah, but is it important?
I haven't even told my therapist.
Tell your therapist and then talk to your therapist about telling your dog and your great-grandmother. All right, but don't tell them for a little while. Give her a break, this woman.
What didn't you tell your therapist?
I'm afraid to.
No. What? Did you tell her about getting...
No, I just mainly tell him about my rape.
You didn't say she's bisexual.
Yeah.
Right, why don't you talk to your therapist about it, and you guys can decide a course of action.
When are you getting married?
We don't know yet. We're still waiting on the date.
Why do you want to get married?
I'm very attracted to this guy, and... a lot of people say I'm ugly, and he's actually one of the few boys I've ever seen that have taken me for my personality.
Okay, but why don't you get married to him in, 5 years?
We're planning to wait until we both get out of college.
All right, but you get engaged in the meantime. All right.
Yeah, the most important thing you could do now is the therapist thing. And the most important thing with a therapist is just to be perfectly honest and talk about everything that's going on. Because otherwise, they're going to have a real hard time helping you work things out.
All right. Talk to the therapist and see what you two can come up with. Oh, boy. This poor great-grandmother. Jason?
What's up, mayonnaise?
Yeah, you're 22.
Mayonnaise.
What's going on? Yeah, it's my rap name.
How you doing, Bruce?
Mayonnaise.
Hey.
Adam, first of all, I got to tell you, you are king.
Well,
love the man show, especially that bit on women's refuge. Classic, brother.
Women's suffrage?
Women's suffrage.
There you go.
Classic.
I'm glad you got the nuances of it. Yes, we wanted to put an end to women's suffrage.
Absolutely.
What's going on there, Jason?
Actually, I wanted to discuss the smelly kid in junior high, which I think everyone can relate to. Remember that kid in junior high, 7th, 8th grade? Who was just a late bloomer on the personal hygiene.
Yeah.
Remember that kid?
Yeah. How much material are you going to do on that kid, by the way? do your 3 minutes set.
Playing at the giggles room.
Actually, I wanted to ask you, what's up with the Nazi warden screening the phone lines?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Ah, Christ.
All right. Jason.
Yes.
Here's the problem. You need to have a question and or a problem for this show.
Here's one last thing. You ever notice? Anybody that says, I will not be made a fool of? Are you there?
Yes. They seem to be made a fool of, yeah. No, I don't notice that, but I do notice when people start a sentence with, I would like to help, it always means you'll get no goddamn help from me in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, that's why we have screeners.
Yeah, it's funny. We have people go, I'd like to help. You go, hey, buddy, can you help me move this way? Well, I'd like, and you go, okay, that's it. If you're saying you'd like to, I know I'm screwed. All right. Good call there.
Yeah. Oof.
Robbie?
Yes.
That was the one call Anderson picked off.
Yeah, I know. What was that? Well, I got attracted. He said he had a...
He was an idiot. Robbie?
Yes.
21. What's up?
I have a problem. I'm a police officer, and I started getting these dreams about getting into these fights and having to shoot somebody, only they don't die. I just wondered if I'm in the right profession.
Yeah. You mean your bullets don't have any real effect on them?
Well, yeah. I mean, in my dream, I can hit this person, and they fall down. They just keep getting up, and
Yeah.
Sometimes it's hard for me to pull the trigger in my dreams. You know, I just can't do it sometimes.
Yeah, I've had this dream many a time, and I'm sure it's a common dream. Do you guys agree? Have you ever had this one?
Yeah.
You get in a fight, you're punching a guy, and it's not really doing anything.
I've had the one where I'm in a war, and I have a gun, but it has no ammo.
I have the gun that has ammo, but it doesn't seem to be harming my opponent in any way.
Or you're sitting the final exam and you haven't studied.
Well,
I don't have school-related dreams anymore. Yes.
I just started having these dreams after I chased somebody down, and I actually had to pull my gun on somebody, and I almost shot them. I had my finger on the trigger, and I started pulling the trigger, and he finally stopped doing what he was doing, and the hammer on my gun was cocked halfway back. I couldn't put it in my holster. My holster wouldn't snap. So, and ever since then, I've been having these dreams.
Okay, yeah. I mean, obviously, you're in a highly stressful job, and you have a lot of police officers that I've dealt with develop drinking problems. They're not always using the healthiest ways to deal with the stress and the anxiety of the workplace. What I'd recommend is there's always an employee assistance program, which there's specialized counselors. It's completely confidential from your job, and you can just sit down and talk to them. And this is a normal reaction to the stress on your job, and it's something you need to deal with. And
it's having dreams, though. It doesn't sound like
if it's
much.
Recurrent. I mean, if it was one dream, it sounds like. Robbie, how often are you having the dreams?
Usually 2 or 3 times a week.
Yeah. So how long have you been working as a police officer?
About 8 months.
Okay. So it may just be an adjustment thing, but it sounds like if you're calling the show and asking the question about it and it's a recurrent thing, it would probably help to talk to somebody on a regular basis that could help you work through this.
Are you a patrol guy?
Yeah, I started at the bottom.
What do? Do you write tickets?
I don't like getting out writing tickets too much.
Good. Yeah. And you tell all those guys who do, you call them pussies.
Yeah.
You understand? Make sure.
I don't care too much for getting out of the vehicle writing tickets.
Good. That's right. You have too much dignity for that.
That's right.
You didn't get on the force so you could write some teenager jaywalking ticket. You got on the force so you could take down perps.
That's exactly right. I didn't get on there to a bus.
That's right. And listen,
drinking.
Thank you. Yeah. And this is what I'd like. Here's what I'd like out of all cops, all of you, everyone within the sound of my voice, listen to me. I want you to start labeling the guys who write traffic tickets as pussies. All right? And any cop who writes like a jaywalking ticket, I want you to treat around the precinct like they treat child molesters and pedophiles in prison. I want the guy to wear a scarlet letter. You understand? Amongst your own ranks. I want them to be so humiliated. I want every cop to be scared S-less that he's out riding a guy jaywalking ticket, another cruiser pulls by, and word gets back to the precinct that this pussy was riding a jaywalking ticket. That's the way I'd like it at all police force. I want everyone just to be scared to get out of the car and write tickets.
Have you ever had a jaywalking ticket?
Yes, I have.
I sense that.
I had it in a dump known as Burbank, which has more cops per capita than any other city in the world, and they raise most of their money with chicken-ass tickets like jaywalking. But you know what? I beat that ticket.
Did you?
Thank you very much.
How'd you do that?
Why?
You went down
to the place? Because I have God on my side.
And plenty of time, it seems.
And time on my side and a conviction on my side. And I beat it. And let me tell you, the police force in Burbank and any of the city officials in the city of Burbank can kiss my smelly, hairy ass, you pack of pussies.
Oh,
I beat your ass. So kiss it. Kiss it, you mother effers. And you owe me, by the way, for the 2 days I had to go down there for that chicken-ass nonsense. Now get back to work! All of you, get back to work! Please.
The cop would have
I have nothing but respect for those in the law
I do, too,
community.
But the guys who write jaywalking tickets, no.
But they're like this guy. They have a lot of anxiety.
Good.
And what better thing
get
to
busy.
Do than pull over Adam Carolla for jaywalking?
Yeah,
there's no way you're going to pull out Newsy and shit.
Yeah.
It's a safer guy to give a ticket.
Well, listen, sorry, kids. I won. You won nothing. You got nothing from me. You understand, you vultures, you Burbank police vultures? Nothing. Pussies. Lucy? You're 16.
Yeah.
Good.
Did Adam
sell tickets to the ball and have some dignity, would you, if you want money?
Is Adam scaring you, Lucy?
Just put a coffee can
He's
out front of the precinct and have people drop quarters into it. You need money.
You know what lithium I put some lithium.
How dare you? Listen, I'm sorry. I'm not supposed to go on these Jags anymore, but I can't take it. Here's the deal. I want people to get pulled over for jaywalking or any other chicken ass to be outraged. You cops, I respect you. Do what we tell you to do and everything will be fine. You're not here to shake down the public. You understand? It's not some extortion racket. You're not the March of Dimes. You need money? Get it through the taxes. Don't shake down pedestrians. Please. Go ahead, Lucy.
Yeah, I'm 16 and... people are always calling in saying that they can have orgasms. Well, mine are like one after another. They're uncontrollable.
Yeah. With a guy?
Yeah.
Wow. He must be feeling pretty good about himself about now. He doesn't get too used to this.
Is that normal or?
No. It's not normal in a very good way.
Because most people are saying that they can have one. Well, mine are just uncontrollable.
You have one boyfriend?
Yeah.
How long have you been with him?
For about 7 months.
How old is he?
19.
Mm-hmm. But when you say uncontrollable, not like painful uncontrollable.
Huh?
Not like painful uncontrollable.
Like pleasurable uncontrollable.
Yeah. How many would you say you have in a typical session?
I don't know. I can't. There's maybe five.
Five, really?
They're just, yeah.
Jeez, that's my tally for the last 8 years.
How can we
have it one night?
So they said.
How can your boyfriend's 19?
Try to get through at least three of those were faking it.
Where'd you meet your boyfriend?
Actually, I met him at school. He graduated last year.
Mm. I see. And what's he moving on to besides giving you orgasms?
He's going to college. He's
junior college.
Huh?
Junior.
Yeah, he's taking his basics now, and then he's going to go to...
He's not going anywhere. Nobody's going anywhere. believe me, this junior college is a complete waste of time.
Jesus.
If you couldn't get it together in high school, you're not just going to take care of a few classes and transfer. Go over to Valley College over here in Van Nuys and see how many people have been transferring to UCLA for the last 40 years. Nobody's going anywhere. That's a sign that should put in front of every junior college.
Nobody's going
this
anywhere.
This is a roach motel. You get in, you don't get out.
That one of them advertises even that they have the highest. What's Santa Monica?
Yeah, the highest. Santa Monica's the highest. They're at 0.2%. That's in the nation.
Okay. Lucy, you're in a relationship. I think what Adam's trying to convey is it doesn't sound like he's feeling this is the most stable individual and you're in an intensely sexual relationship with him. He's 19, you're 16. There are some other issues here.
Well, why are you calling? What's the problem?
Well, I was just calling to ask if that was normal, me having orgasms one after another.
Well, I mean, you've talked to your friends, right?
Well, no, not really.
Well, you just
listen to the show.
Somewhat, but not. I mean, it's
perfectly normal.
It's fine for you. That's how you are.
Some women don't have orgasms, and others have multiple orgasms. And
you stole other women's orgasms. You understand? You stole my date's orgasms. I want them back. Do you hear me? I want you to orgasm into a thing of Tupperware and send it over to the radio station. I'm going to then collect it and bring it with me on my next date.
Alrighty then.
And then in the middle of passion, I will open it and release an orgasm.
Yeah.
All right. Lucy, are you using protection?
Yes, I am.
You are?
Yes.
Are you on the pill?
I'm depot shot.
Good girl.
Now, are you guys getting married or any of that kind of stuff?
We haven't gone that far.
Hmm. Good. But everything's going good? He's an okay guy?
Yeah.
Treat you right?
Yeah, I'm up on the pedestal pretty much.
All right. And you're on the depot and on the pedestal, right? Mm-hmm. All right. You're fine then. That's just fine. You're lucky.
Okay.
You're a little ahead of the game.
Okay.
That's all.
It's a big emotional difference between 16 and 19.
And this son of a bitch better enjoy the hayride while it lasts.
Mm.
So let me tell you, for me to get an orgasm out of a woman is like trying to get a rag doll from a pit bull. You understand? And with Lucy, she's just handing them out. Pow. Pow, pow. Man.
She had sort of a little girl...
No, she's 16.
And he's 19.
Yeah,
that's such a big difference.
It is, but...
Is that legal? That's not legal?
No.
But there's so many 16-year-olds who are with 19-year-olds. He treats her right. they knew each other from high school, even though she was just touring it with her junior high class while he was graduating. But, I mean, they knew each other from school. He treats her right. She's on depo. She's having 1,000 orgasms a minute. How are you going to tell her to stop having sex? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right.
Good. The reality is when... All right.
Yes. Listen, you saying how bad it is for a 19 and 16-year-old to have sex is not going to work.
I'm not saying bad. I'm just saying that what happens, a guy goes off to college. This is not a relationship.
He's not going anywhere. He's going to junior college right. In Bakersfield.
People change a huge amount from the time they're 16. When she's 18 or 19, she's not going to be into this guy because they're going to change.
All right,
and
fine. Good.
To have an intense sexual relationship.
They're having sex. She's having 1,000 orgasms. What are you going to do?
She should be dating around at 16. She shouldn't be in a sexual relationship with a 19-year-old. It's not good for her. It's not that it's bad. It's just not good for her.
I know. But here's the deal. Here's the reality of this show. Are we going to talk her out of that?
No, but I think you can project normal to be what normal is not. That's not normal. It's not healthy. So I think you should say it.
And it's not healthy what? Because...
It's not healthy for a 16-year-old girl to be in an intense sexual relationship with a 19-year-old guy. Right. She should be dating around. Once you start having sex, you have very...
All right, but listen, Bruce.
Yes.
What is healthy and what is normal can be two different things. It may not be as healthy as you'd like.
Common. You mean
normal or common, it is these days.
But... If you project it to all the people, all the kids listening, well, it seems it's okay because they treat it as if it's okay. If I'm in my private practice and this kid comes in, she's going to be coming in because of emotional problems related to being in a sexual relationship with a 19-year-old. So I'm just basing it on what
I
see.
It would be better
patients.
If everyone didn't have sex. I agree, except for us. Oh. Joseph, you're 18. What's up?
How's it going, guys?
Good.
Hey, good.
I had a question for Anderson.
Yeah.
What kind of clues are we supposed to be looking for on the show? I mean, obviously, all the contestants are, throwing some suspicion, but just because they're, walking behind some and others are, not working as hard, but that's just, that could be anything.
Yeah, well, you just got to watch carefully. I mean, you got to watch these tests that they take. In every episode, there's like 2 or 3 different tests.
Right.
And, some of them are there's a woman, Kate, who's a grandmother, and she's huffing and puffing through a lot of the tests. And a lot of the other players are saying, well, she's kind of playing it. She's faking it. You just got to, at home, you got to make up your own mind over whether, some of these things are real. Are these false clues or not? But they're definitely clues. If you watch closely, you can figure out. I mean, it's best to kind of try to pinpoint 1 or 2 people who you think the mole is and kind of watch them more closely than the others. But like most people thought it was this girl Wendy, and she got executed, eliminated last week. So,
and what kind of questions are they asked on the test, on the little quizzes at the end?
Yeah, the quiz, that's how you get eliminated at the end of the show. You take this 20-question quiz about who you think the mole is. And it's some of the questions are real simple, like, what did the mole have for breakfast yesterday? Stuff that the players would know to, like... during this test, did the mole ride in a boat or ride in a helicopter? Or, what did the mole wear yesterday? Right. Is the mole left-handed? So stuff that you got to just, at home you wouldn't really know, but that's why we don't show you all the questions in the quiz. We show a little bit just to get a taste of it.
Let me, let me float something here. Yeah. I know we got $10 million on the line.
Right.
But I got friends with money.
Yeah.
We could pool.
You must make a pretty nice chunk of change.
I do fine. I'm not going to put anything toward this, but I do fine. But I know guys who make money, and I know some guys that know their way around the law. Jimmy's cousin Sal passed the bar before he came out here and became a stoogie for the Man Show. We could probably put together a decent some decent representation for you.
Yeah,
I think you should tell us who the mole is.
Right,
and here's my theory. You say who the mole is, it becomes a huge media story. It's right. All over the place. And then there's so much sort of subsidiary mole sort of extra media that's even though it's negative, even though it's giving out who the mole is, people are, there becomes a mole frenzy. Everyone's talking about the mole, and people tune in just to watch the guy they know or the girl they know is the mole.
That is actually one...
I bet it would work.
It's one cool thing about the show is that it's kind of like The Sixth Sense. Like, you can see it again once the gimmick on The Sixth Sense. So in the show, once you know who the mole is, it's kind of fun to actually watch all the episodes because you can watch that person play.
I'm saying it might be a good ploy.
You think?
I think it would get a... Joseph, what do you think?
Yeah, that might work.
Okay, thank you for that endorsement. All right, forget it.
Joseph, thanks for watching.
This may not be the week. How many weeks do we have left?
It's 9 weeks total. It's been on 3 weeks. This will be the fourth week coming up.
I'd say about week six,
yeah.
You get drunk.
Uh-huh.
You start talking. The Entertainment Tonight and ET and Extra and all this stuff, it gets all over the place. Everybody starts buzzing about it.
I go to a rave.
They can't believe that you said the mole. Everyone's talking mole, mole, mole. It's at the front of every newscast. And then the viewership goes way up because of just overall mole buzz and people watching wanting to see which one it was. That's my theory. I'm going to talk to Stone Stanley tomorrow about this.
All right, if you can clear with them.
Yeah, they'll get them to sign off.
I'm like in litigation for the rest of my life.
No, listen. But listen, you got to trust me.
Mm-hmm.
I know those dudes. Yeah. I'll talk to them. If they give me the thumbs up, I'll just come back and tell you discreetly. Right. Come back and tell me about it. We don't need anything in writing.
All right.
That's what I'm saying. They're busy guys.
If you can give me Johnny Cochran as representation, I'll get you.
I think he's doing like Jesse Jackson or
this guy didn't have to go to Yale to figure out that you're not the best career counselor.
I don't know. I think it would work. All right. Let's take ourselves a little break. Anderson Cooper's our guest tonight. He's from, of course, the Mole. Dr. Bruce is here. He's from God knows what, some college no one's heard of. The Mole may have went to college there because no one knows where it is. And we'll be back after this.
Hello? Who's this?
This is Loveline.
1-800-LOVE-191. Loveline.
Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Anderson Cooper is here tonight from the Mole. Tomorrow night, XFL cheerleaders are going to be here.
Woo! Woo!
You're a serious journalist. Please. Yeah, I'm going to be excited to see them. And I'm glad to see them sharing the spotlight with some
My question is, all right, the football players in the NXL, or whatever they're called, XFL, make $40,000 a year, right? What do the cheerleaders make?
I don't know. They make babies with the with the athletes.
Wouldn't that be great if they're all pregnant? That'd be cool.
It would really be cool to see one out there in about her eighth month. You know what I mean? Big swollen breast, belly all over the place, kicking that
leg. Lactating all over the place.
Each time she did one of those high leg kicks, you're scared something's going to come out.
Why would that interest you?
Like my strategy of Anderson divulging who the mole is tonight, I think it would build some publicity, and in show business, any publicity is good publicity.
You're all about publicity, aren't you?
Oh, yes. That's why I have three publicists.
Yeah.
Chelsea?
Yes?
You're 16.
Yes, I am.
What's
How's it
up?
Going?
Good.
I listen to you guys every night.
Thanks.
I performed oral sex on my boyfriend twice, and I have, like, a real problem with gagging. I was wondering if there's anything I can do to stop from gagging.
Maybe you're gagging because you don't like it.
You think?
I don't know. How old's your boyfriend?
He's 17.
How long have you been sexually active?
For about a month, maybe.
Okay, so this is something your boyfriend demands or wants?
He doesn't demand, but I'd like to return the favor.
Does he do stuff for you?
Yes, he does.
Oh, that's good.
How long you guys been going out?
For about 4 months.
I see. Mm-hmm. And so you just have that very sensitive gag reflex?
Maybe. I don't know how to explain it.
But does he, like, coach you at all?
What do you mean, coach?
Well, like, give advice about, like, what he likes, or...
Let's go now. We got damn holding up a doll here. Get down on that penis.
Actually, I tell him, like, nothing.
Let's go. Let's say blowjob on three. Ready to break. Let's go. Come on, what do you think this is? Leisure World? Get down there and blow. Your last easy day was yesterday. Let's go now.
No, but I mean, maybe like she's trying. Well, never mind.
All right, let's go. Let's get a hand in now. Let's break it down now. grab a knee. Come on, break it down now.
Yeah,
I'd like to do a little coaching.
Have you guys had intercourse yet? Or?
Yeah.
And you're using birth control of some sort?
No. Not yet.
Come on, baby. It's the fourth quarter now. You're tired. It's 105. It's Tampa. But you got to start digging deep now. It's time for a goal line stand. Let's get down in that 4-point stance and let's go. Dig in now. I want you to go for my penis hell bent for leather. You understand? I'd make a good coach
you
one day.
Yeah.
I really would. You see me with the camp on?
You're making me hard.
Yeah, like on that sled yelling. like a whistle in my mouth. You know what I used to like? My coaches used to talk with the whistle in their mouth, but it would talk to me. It'll be partly whistling while they were talking and just normal conversation with just a slight whistle out of the side. It was always a little distracting. Chelsea?
Yes.
Yeah, I think this is something you two will just kind of work through. I don't know that there's any magic technique pill we can give you over the air.
Robitussin spray can
numb you up. Really?
I don't know. I'm not recommending that, no.
But, Bruce, what about that gag reflex in general? Can you train that?
It's a God-given reflex.
Yes. Can it be trained at all? Do you know what I mean? Some people have a very sensitive one. Others don't.
To a point, but...
And I sort of...
Oops, hold on a second. You sort of what, Chelsea?
I sort of get embarrassed because of it. Do you think it bothers him or anything?
No.
No?
I'm sure he's happy to see that kind of effort made on his penis's behalf.
And what's important is how you feel, and don't worry about, you know, what he feels about it.
Stay around the top, though.
Okay.
All right. Okay,
you're sexually active. You're not using protection. And
let me ask about the gag reflex for just 1 second. I know Anderson has many questions on it as well. He's looking perked up. He's looking very inquisitive now. Obviously, you can sort of train it to the extent that a woman can go down on a man, your average woman who's in her, God knows, 20s or 30s, who's been with a man or two, can go down on a man without any difficulty. And if you took your average heterosexual male and told them to go down on a guy, they would probably feel like they were going to vomit. I mean, partially because it made them sick to have a penis in their mouth. But do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, you take your average... Anne is a couple years younger than
I am.
She's
a matter of experience.
She's had 700 lineal miles of penis in her mouth.
Jesus.
No, Anne is a very, God love her, she's beautiful. She's a happily married woman, but she knows what a man likes. She's not going to deny that. And Anne has had more penis in her mouth than I have.
No, you've
or
had
just
more,
about anyone in North
had more
America.
Foot no. in your mouth, I think.
No, I mean it. Anne is. I've never had a penis in my mouth when I wasn't at camp. And, and Anne has had a penis in her mouth.
Where are you going?
What I'm saying is Anne has trained herself to a certain extent not to gag during the oral pleasure of her husband, which comes twice a year on Easter and on. No. Right? And she has trained that. So a woman obviously has the ability to train that reflex. And Chelsea over here, with time and in a loving relationship, could probably work that out. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, she's 16. She's gagging with the penis. She should probably not have
she's
it
gagging
in her
with
mouth.
The penis? She's 16?
Yeah, she's a little young to be...
All right, but she should. You sound like a rabbi, by the way. She's 16. She's gagging
got the
penis with
the penis. And she's gagging with it.
She should blow in good health.
Mazel tov.
It's Aaron. Yeah.
Hi.
Hey.
Yes.
Yeah, I was wondering, how do you tell if you're like a compulsive liar, or is there any way to fix that?
Is this a real question?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, you're not too bad.
Huh?
Yes. What do you do?
Well, like, no matter what I do, I keep lying to my boyfriend, and I really don't want to, and it's really, like, affecting our relationship.
What are you lying about?
Like, I mean, everything from big things to little things, and it's more little things now, but I don't know. I can't stop.
And okay. Like, are you lying to hide something, or because you're embarrassed about the truth, or are you lying
with
a motive?
Yeah, sometimes I have a motive, and, like, other times it'll be, like, just stupid little things that really don't need to be lied about.
Do you cheat also, like, in school and stuff?
No.
No?
No.
So it's just, like, verbal lies?
Yeah. It's just, like, I mean, it doesn't really matter with other people, but it really matters with him. I mean, we've been together for, what, two, almost 3 years?
Well, yeah, just about three now. And tell me again, like, tell me the biggest, most damaging thing you've lied about with him.
Well, I lied about my past sexual experiences.
Good. God bless you.
Yeah.
More women ought to do that.
Yeah, and he kind of got upset about it after, because eventually it came out. And
well, how many did you say?
I said none.
Oh, well, see, yeah, it was a little too much of a stretch. And what did he find out about?
He found out about one guy, and I ended up telling him about everybody.
Ooh, how many is everybody?
He wanted to know everything, and he was getting really upset, and we had a really big fight, and I ended up telling him, like, everything.
Yeah, how many guys you, how many are we talking about?
It was maybe like six or seven.
Yeah. You see, you really should have just stopped at the one guy he found out about.
Well, he knew there was more, and he was hearing things. And
All right.
So is this one, I mean, what did, lying all the time, what do you...
Like, I mean, he'll be like, what'd you do today? And I'll be like, oh, you know, I went here, and when I really went there, and it wasn't like a big deal. It doesn't matter either way.
All right, fine.
But it, I mean, it's like hurting our relationship now.
Well, why? Is he finding out?
Yeah, like, he can like tell when I lie.
All right, but listen here, goofball. Why bother lying if you didn't do anything?
Because like, I don't know, but I can't help
that's it. That's what she's calling
about. Okay, so... You mean if you went and saw a movie with one of your girlfriends,
yeah,
and he said, what did you do? You'd say you went shopping.
Oh, well, I'd be like...
I used to do this.
You know, I might be like, well...
Really?
You know, yeah. I don't know. I would probably like either embellish or fib or lie about it, yeah.
All right. Anderson, why'd you do it?
I don't know. It was just... I mean, I stopped, but like...
You did it as an adolescent, though.
Yeah.
As a teenager.
Yeah. It was just like... It became like this thing. I just couldn't stop.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no, I totally understand.
It has its own momentum.
Yeah, and like you find you get away with it, but
yeah,
ultimately you never get away with it. Ultimately it all comes out, and you end up looking like a complete jerk. And also, ultimately, you just start, like I stopped basically when it just started to make me feel bad. I started to feel like I was just like sending all this negative stuff out there. And
but you're not really lying. Are you lying to
about
sort of enhance
things.
Your life?
No,
at all?
No, not at all. And not, I'm just not like bragging about things. It's just like when you're like confronted about anything, your first instinct is to lie about it.
Yeah, that's
right.
How, exactly.
Right. Well, I do understand that if you're being confronted.
Not even in a, no, I don't even mean, just like suddenly someone asks you, oh, what'd you do today? You know, then
yeah,
you come
yeah,
up with
like,
some lie.
That's the first thing that
I totally get this.
Right. Well, I always do that. So, what'd you do today? What runs around napped and jacked off? Help retarded kids. You know, I mean, sometimes you can't tell too much of the truth. There's a bubble of you napping and masturbating.
I usually jack off, actually.
Oh, yeah. It does help you get to bed.
Okay, so it sounds like it could be you're going through a stage. Sometimes teenagers go through stages where they have an experimental behavior. The question is, are these things getting out of control? Is it getting you in trouble? And is it something that's getting worse?
All right. Well,
or is it a limited?
Well, here's the deal. Like, you know,
she has awareness of
we're
it.
We're getting back to our theme.
Don't keep doing it. You're going to wind up
tonight,
like hosting a reality TV show.
That's right. You'll be in Somalia dodging bullets. Oh, listen, you know what you're doing. You're intelligent. You're fine. You understand it. Stop it. Just keep track of yourself. Listen, everybody, you need to be cognizant of certain things in your life. You need to sort of get outside of yourself and watch yourself.
I also actually found, on the lying thing, found it helpful to like set a limit, like, okay, just I'm gonna go a day without lying or an hour.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, you were out of control.
I was getting into it for a while there. And I'd go for like a day and I'd feel good, you know.
But it wasn't like telling chicks at a Red Onion astronaut.
No, it was stupid, nothing important
just
stuff.
Kind of lying that wouldn't benefit you,
right.
It's just people would think you were a liar.
Right, yeah. Most people wouldn't even catch on.
Now, do you think, like kleptomania, there's a certain thrill in
probably.
In
I
that?
Don't know. Maybe.
I mean, it's a little rush, a little high you get from sort of... In a way, it's a control, if you think
yeah,
about it.
That's
it's
true.
A sense of controlling somebody.
Well, it's
because
also keeping other people distant because they're not getting to know
they don't
who you
know,
are.
They don't know who you are, and you're sort of manipulating them
right.
In the sense that
right.
They don't know what you're doing or where you're coming from,
right.
And it's sort of, yeah, it's control
yeah.
And keeping it's
but
avoiding
if you go,
an intimacy.
Try, I would just say try going for like a day without it, and you'll find that you don't need to lie. That it's just kind of stupid, and it's just making you ultimately look stupid. And it's not productive. It's not working for you. There are other if you're going to be manipulative, do something that's at least more effective. Lying is.
But there's certain behaviors that a lot of kids try. I mean, piercing, tattooing, self mutilation. You hear a lot about kleptomania or shoplifting. The question is it something that's out of control? Is it something where the person feels like they've lost control? And that's when things, you know, are more serious and you need some help with them. So.
All right. Well, if you can't stop, and I agree, see if you can go a day. If you can't do it, then you got to get some help. When we come back, we'll speak to Carrie. She's 21. She's black and is attracted to white men only. Black guys, only black guys like her, though. This could be a problem, and we'll talk to her after this.
Loveline will be right back, so get your problems ready.
Yep, it is Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Dr. Bruce filling in quite nicely for Dr. Drew tonight. He's on his game. He has his coffee, got his sleep.
It's because you're not so abusive.
His hair's in place. I'm, you know why I'm not abusive? Because
somebody's making you.
You've not been agitating tonight. All right. Anderson Cooper's our guest tonight. Not only an award-winning journalist, He won the bronze flak jacket for his work over in Somalia. He is the host of the Fabulous Mole, which is on Tuesday nights, ABC, 8 o'clock, of course. And let's see if we can get through a few more calls here. Carrie?
Hi.
Hey, you're 21?
Yeah.
You're black, right?
Yes, I am.
You like white guys?
Yes.
Why do you like white guys more than black guys?
I don't know. I just don't. I mean, I don't hang out with a lot of black people, and like black men are just not what I like. I don't like them. I don't find them attractive.
You're just physically not into them.
Yeah,
I see.
And like mentally too. Like a majority of them that like I meet,
yeah,
they can't keep up with me.
I see. You don't mean in a foot race though, right?
No,
they're very fast. All right, so you like white guys?
Yes.
And so what's the problem?
They don't like me.
They don't?
Don't like me. Like, all my friends are white, and, like, they're so... All my girlfriends are, like, cute, and, like...
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, like, I only get, like, these ugly,
right,
super dark black guys, and I'm not attracted to them.
Right. Same here, by the way, but... yeah, here's the thing about white guys and black girls and wanting to get a white guy when you're a black girl. Most white guys are going to want to date white girls, and I'd say that's safe to say with most cultures. But you will find a section.
That's true?
I think it is. I think generally it is a rule of thumb. I mean, here's what I'm saying. You take your average white guy, you put an attractive black girl in front of him, an attractive white girl in front of him, and he's going to date the white one. Your average guy, all things being equal. It's sort of like this. This is the way it's, and I don't look at that as racism. It's like, I say this. If you take your average white guy and you tell him to watch a boxing match, and there's a white guy and a black guy fighting, and there's no other history, most white guys will pull for the white guy, and most black guys will pull for the black guy.
I don't think that's
most
true.
Most. If the, no, all that, things,
I mean, no,
this is all things being equal.
Right.
All things being equal. I mean, no, because there's a lot of white guys that are a-holes, and you right. like the black guy more, and you want him to win. But I'm just saying, if you don't know either one of them, and everything is completely equal, most Italian guys are going to pull for the Italian fighter, and most Irish guys are going to pull for the Irish fighter. I mean, that's
human nature. But I think with sexual attraction,
nature.
Like, who knows? With sexual attraction, like, who...
Nobody knows. I agree with you, but I'm just saying, all things being equal, most people... Hmm. will usually date within the race.
Isn't it sort of a...
Well, you can't argue with it, though, because that's what goes on.
Because it's your show. But isn't that a San Fernando Valley working class sort of an interpretation
no,
of
listen,
culture?
Listen, hold on a second. Carrie?
Yeah?
I'm sorry. I just have to defend this position for a second. I don't think that's a racist statement at all.
I don't
think that people are racist by doing that. I think your average guy or your average girl, your average human being... will be attracted to their race most of the time. That doesn't mean that there's not quite a few people, quite a few white guys who are really into black chicks. And they're into black chicks more than white guys are into white chicks. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You got to find those guys.
See,
there's a lot of them.
Okay, when I was growing up, because, I mean, most people, like, I'm talking to you on the phone, and most people would think that I'm white over the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because I sound the way I do and the way I talk.
Right.
When I was growing up, black people used to hate me. So, like, now that I'm older, it's like I switched, and, like, I don't like them.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, like, when a black guy comes up to me and they start talking, and they're like, hey, baby, what's up? I just don't like that. It's just, like, I want to smack them in their face.
All right, but what about going out with the black version of you?
What do you mean?
Well, a black guy that ain't into that what's up, baby. But a black guy who doesn't have all the rap and everything.
Where do I find somebody like that?
Oh, I have no idea. I don't think he exists. No, I mean, there's Colin Powell. I mean, there's a lot of...
I'm in the wrong city for this.
Listen, I don't... Where are you calling from?
I'm from San Diego.
Really?
Yeah.
That's the wrong city?
But Carrie, you and Adam sort of seem to have the same mentality about this, and it's almost like a prejudice mentality. You're talking about black guys and white guys.
Thank you.
I think that... the idea of a lighter-skinned person being more attractive to a black male comes out of an era when there was a lot of prejudice and a lot of inequality. But I think these days, you know, fortunately, things are changing where people deal with people just on the basis of how they interact and the attraction there from just a personality.
Are you an attractive person?
Yeah.
Because,
I mean, people, but I'm just talking about personality.
People tell me all the time, both physically and personality-wise,
yes,
people are attracted to me.
But how can you say white guys aren't attracted to you? I mean, what's a white guy?
What's a white guy?
Yeah, I mean, they're all the same.
Bruce, you want to know what a white guy is? No. Look in the goddamn mirror. You'll see a white guy. You may not even see anything.
I don't see color, Adam.
Yeah, you don't see color because you're albino and your pupils are shot.
Listen, Mr. Pubic Hair in the Head.
How
don't give me any
dare you make fun of my Italian heritage.
Last time I talked about Uncle Guido, it was indeed Uncle Guido.
Please, pull the paddy wagon around.
Carrie, I mean, don't fall into Adam's trap here. He's a bigot. He has a very working class
what
white.
What the hell are you talking about? Listen to me, Carrie. Here's what I'm telling you. I'm being straight up, as the black men you don't want to date would say. Oh. They're most you're dealing with a high percentage of white guys are going to date white women. That's the reality, and
that the reality. I think that is. A statistic on this.
Look at all your white friends. Who are they dating?
There's this place called Boobville.
How many?
That Adam
hold on.
Runs.
Shut up.
World according to
oh,
Adam.
How
is
dare
Boobville.
You? What color's your wife? What color's your wife, Bruce?
I don't see color.
What color is she? What color is she? What, you know, Anderson, what color is your girlfriend or your wife? What, your friends? You have white friends. Who are they dating? Here's all I'm saying. Let's not pretend like something doesn't exist. It exists, and that's fine. A lot of black people date black people. A lot of white people date white people. A lot of Asians date Asians. A lot of Hispanics date Hispanics. That's life. That's culture. That's fine.
I have a dream. Didn't you ever hear a Martin Luther King speech?
No, you'll find
things are changing. You're describing.
Well, but she frankly, needs but, to be yeah. open
and
to dating.
You agree with me?
I think the whole concept of like what it means to be white in America is completely changed. Right. What does that mean?
She's the one who's saying she wants to date white guys.
Right, I don't know what she
it's
means
not
though.
Their
like,
problem.
What...
Non-black Caucasian men. Probably of European descent is what she's talking about.
She's in the prison
dating.
Of her own mind. That is
okay.
The problem.
She
we
should
need to liberate her. From
she
that.
Needs to open herself up
right.
and think about dating a black guy and think about the personality.
Well, why not? Yeah, I'd say forget about the race thing. Focus more on the personality.
Right.
And if what you're going for, if you're attracted to someone because they're white, that's kind of
but she's 21 and she's not physically attracted to black men.
Right.
And it's going to be hard to talk her out of that. There are plenty of white guys who will date you. Thank you. We'll be back.
Back in a minute.
All right. Just having some enlightened conversation with Anderson Cooper from The Mole. Well, that is it. Another fabulous Love Line show. In the ground, deeper than The Mole, actually. XFL cheerleaders tomorrow
Woo!
Night.
Woo! Oh, can I come in?
Here's what you can do. If you want to be here tomorrow night for tomorrow night's show because Drew's coming back, you may, but you cannot leave the studio until this time tomorrow, okay? So you have some coffee and some half and half and enough water to probably get you through.
Can I go home with you? And
no, you can't go home and come back. If you go home, you have to stay out. You know, like at the club where they go, like at the movies,
uh-huh.
you go, I got to go out and feed the meat. And I go, once you leave, you can't come back. You go, don't you remember me? No. You can't come back. You go, listen, I go down the street, I'll put money in the fridge, I'll come
he's
back.
He's going to go whack off or something?
Yeah,
or
he cannot come back. So,
no,
you want to stay?
It's a double bind
you
situation.
You want to stay?
He's trying to drive me crazy.
All right, you
I'm
stay.
Going home.
You
I'm
stay.
Taking my toys.
All
I've
right.
had it with
I want to thank Anderson for coming in. We do appreciate The Mole, everyone. ABC on Tuesday nights, 8 o'clock. Thank you very much.
Thanks, it was fun.
And come in anytime you like. And until next time, this is Adam Crowe for Dr. Bruce. Say mahalo.
This has been Love Line. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.